We have a very, very good number today. Though it's a holiday, holiday time, many of us are not here, but still we have a very good number. I thank God for that. Now, I just wanted to ask you, just to know your knowledge. There are a few of us that they know the answer, but don't answer. I know who all know. What is the first sin that was committed by man? What was the first sin that was committed by man? Anyone? Anyone in the sense? Not those who know, because we had a session. Yeah. Anyone other than those? What is the first sin? Genesis, you don't know? Adam and Eve, you don't know? Yeah, what is the sin? Yeah, what is the first sin? Disobedience. Okay. Any other? Okay, fine. We'll look into that. I will not give an answer now. Okay. So there in the Adam and Eve story, Genesis chapter 3-4, it says that in that verse it says that you will not die. There is some sound coming up. Okay. Okay. So, there the serpent says that you shall not die. And that is not a lie actually, because of the reason that he is not a spiritual being. So, he cannot understand what is in the spiritual realm. What is in the spiritual realm? Maybe you can just reduce the voice. Yeah. So the serpent says that that you will not die. That is not actually a lie. But when you read the fifth verse, for God knows, there you see that your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and good and evil. So here you see that the devil saying that you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. Again, this is not a lie, because in 22nd verse, we read that God saying, behold, the man has become one of us. So here, both the things are the same. So we know that from these two verses, the devil said like that, and then God said that they have become one like us. That means we have also become one like God. So there, I just wanted to I want to bring you to know what is the real sin. When you see it, when you look at it, you will think that it is disobedience. It is disobedience. But disobedience was not the sin actually. The disobedience was an act of that sin. The act that we saw. The sin that came into Eve's heart was before, earlier. So you see that. How do you know that? After that, they ate that fruit. You see, immediately what did they do? They immediately went and hid. They became the enemy of God. Immediately they became the enemy of God. So you understand that. You understand that God, the devil said, you will be like God. And then God said, they have become one like us.
devil said that you will not die and you will be like God. So there you see that when becoming like God, you need to disobey God. So when when you commit, you are disobeying God. So when you understand that,
to be self-righteous is the sin that actually came into man's heart. That happened in his heart, that he believed the devil's word that you will not surely die. There he could have counter-checked. What devil was telling was right, because he can see only the fleshly things. His eyes are opened to the fleshly things. He cannot know what is happening in the spiritual realm. But God said that you will die. So here, Eve did not have knowing that God's will over there. God said that you will die, you will die, and the devil said you will not die. So then she thought that, she believed that I will be like God. Now the self-righteousness, immediately after that, you see that Adam is putting the blame on God and on Eve. And then Eve putting the blame on devil. So self-righteousness is the basic sin that every man, we are also confronting the self-righteousness, that is idolatry. Because you bring yourself above God. You bring yourself above God. Because in each of your decisions, your actions, you are checking whether I am glorified. I am given the importance. You know, when a pastor is being called for this thing, many pastors will be there. And if one pastor is left alone, immediately he comes and talks, says that you did not give me a chance. All that. What I'm saying is, it is nothing related to our church or anything. I'm just saying that everything from that level to that level, that you go and totally go from God's will, everything is connected with idolatry. So I just wanted to make you aware that portraying self over God. Because the disobedience, eating the forbidden fruit, is an act of commission. But the act committed willfully, that is within us. So that happened first to have the disobedience later by eating that forbidden fruit. Let us look at some examples of self-oriented sins. Romans 1:24. There we see that, therefore God gave them over to the lusts of their own hearts, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. We don't have, okay, all right. That's not working, brother? Okay. All right. So so there you see God gave them over their lust in their own hearts to sexual impurity. You know what is the reason? In the 25th verse, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature than the creator. So this was the reason that God gave them, because they exchanged the truth of God. What is the truth of God? The truth of God, he is the creator and he loves us and he takes care of us and he is the omnipotent God, and that he took and the man took that truth of God for a lie and started worshiping the creation, the creature. The creature means even us. If we are each and every act of us will be looking at how I could be glorified. I'm talking about the worldly people. Even unless you come to know Christ, that is the first time that you look back to yourself and say, I am a sinner. Can you imagine a normal person always thinking that I am a sinner? It is not. Because your calling is not to start with the beginning of knowing Christ. You have to, you know, the first level is knowing Christ, but the second, that is, he's making us righteous. But then the second level and the third level and the fourth level, till death, you are having this sanctification process. Only then you will be turned into the likeness of his son. The likeness of his son is very important, because otherwise God considers only his son, Jesus Christ, as perfect. Now, when we need to attain that, we cannot attain in our life. But one thing is that every time when you look at Jesus Christ, you will think that I am a sinner. And then the sanctification process going on. It will go on until you come to that stage that yourself, you will be always looking, denying what is God's, what is your will in your life, and going for God's will in your life. So that is what. Now let us look into certain examples. We read Romans chapter 1:28, the 29th verse. I am not making you turn into next pages. So in the same there in 29th verse, until they were filled or saturated with every kind of unrighteousness, wickedness, greed. You just check each and every sin, it is mentioned. And every kind of unrighteousness, then wickedness. Wickedness is for yourself. Yourself, you are doing wickedness is for yourself. Greed is for yourself. Evil, full of envy. Why do we have the envy? That is because of yourself. Murder, strife, deceit, malice, and unsympathetic. All these are connected to self. They are gossipers. What is gossipers? Spreading rumors. That is also connected to self. Because when you spread rumors, there could be a lot of rumors that could be made about you. But we don't do it. But we do about others. So that is also self. Slanderers, haters of God. All this, haters of God. Why did Adam go and hide? Because God is the enemy. Now you are projecting yourself as God. Insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient, and disrespectful to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. All this are connected with self. Everything is connected with self. So when you look at a sin, that sin, either there you can categorize sins like this, but all the sins starts from one point, glorifying yourself against God. So that is why God hates idolatry. That is the only reason God, because you then, we read here, God is leaving unto your will. And your will is that you will fall into all kind of traps. Because God has an order. So if supposing if you are being left, whatever your mind says is the law. Just imagine during Hitler's, I don't know how many of you might have read those, whatever he thinks, or Joseph Stalin, whatever he thinks, that is the law. That is the law. The next day morning, what is the law? We don't know. What comes out of, so that is the problem of man. So he becomes, once he becomes self-glorifying, he becomes the devil, the agent of devil. The agent of devil, that he will work everything. That is what devil also wants. That he wants us, the creation, fight with the creator. So that is what even the devil wants, which he is getting it done through us. So we are the tools. So now idolatry, we saw that everything is connected with idolatry. Making yourself above God. So here, I just want to explain about idolatry in few words. Any low thoughts that minimize the sovereign Lord is an activity of idolatry. It is an act of idolatry. Watch those words. Low thoughts that minimize the sovereign Lord. Any in our heart, anything that, suppose morning we pray, it happens to you and to me, everyone, we pray, and our prayer time, that's the only thing that we always keep postponing, probably more, and or the time that we spend because of our busy schedule, we stop. These kind of things we are minimizing the sovereign God. So thinking less of God than what he is, thinking less of God of what he is able to see you, he is able to hear you. Whatever you think in your mind, he knows, because he looks at your heart, not at your face. So thinking less of God than he is. So here we are not talking about those idols which are made of wood. We are discussing about the act of idolatry, which is more subtile, and perhaps it is more deadly. It is subtile and it is deadly. These are idols that are raised in the heart. It is subtile and it is deadly. These idols could be anything, or anyone that goes against one's supreme devotion for God. So, you know, anything, these idols could come and stand in your devotion for God. So anything that comes and stands in your devotion towards God is an idol. So prime importance, if it is reduced, for prime importance that you're giving for God, it is being reduced by anything that is going to, you are minimizing God, or I am minimizing God. Anyone, see, for example, if someone loves this job, and you are very much dedicated to the job, you work 8 hours, that will go up to 10 hours, 12 hours, and we will be totally, how much time that we are giving for God, how much time will we have in our, when we are alive in the daytime, how much time we are devoting to God, how much time our mind is connected with God. So when you are connected with world, the idol comes in. The idolatry act comes in. Because the position that you are giving for God is given to another thing. Now, it could be a house, or it could be for a soccer team, or it could be for a career in your life. All these things, you stay separate for your career. Wife is somewhere, husband is somewhere, and children are somewhere for your career. You have to be very, very careful about it, because career is not important. Because we can always live with what God, God is there to provide you. Matthew chapter 6 says that. 33 says that he is sufficient, all sufficient, that he can do that. And then, so it could be anything that one loves more than God, that now becomes an idol in the heart and becomes the supreme object of one's devotion. So in your heart, what is that supreme devotion that you have? How much time you spend for whom? That is all. You all just think how much time you spend for a particular. Everyone will be having, now suppose there are about 100 members here. 100 members have got 100 idols, or even more. Because, not even more. If it is 100, because what there is in your heart or in your altar, which is the one that taking most of your time? That is important. That is idolatry. Now Ezekiel 14:1 says, in the third verse, some of the people came to Ezekiel to hear from him. And 14:3 says, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and have put right before their faces the stumbling block of their wickedness and guilt. Should I permit myself to be consulted by them at all? It's a question that when Ezekiel was speaking to them. And any man, then in the fourth verse, any man of the house of Israel who takes his idols into his heart and puts the stumbling block of his wickedness and guilt before his face, and yet comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him. God says, I, the Lord, will answer him. But how? But I will answer him in accordance with the number of his idols. According to the number of his idols. So then in the sixth verse, therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from your disgusting and vile acts. Turn your way. Those who are going to get married, those who are going to pursue higher studies, those who are going to have a family life, everyone. One thing that we have to keep is, we have to give enough and more time to God, so that God will direct your paths. In the ninth verse, the prophet is being lured by the inquirer. And now God says again, if this is what is happening, now we read in 2 Timothy that we make preachers according to our tastes. That's exactly. They want to hear what they want to hear, not what God wants to say. So they are bringing in the prophets of that sort. And God says, I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people Israel. Now, let us look at the story of the rich young ruler. In Matthew chapter 19:16 says, good master, what good thing should I do that I may have eternal life? When that person comes immediately, you understand that he presents Jesus as good master. And immediately in the 17th verse, Jesus says, "Why call thou me good?" He was answering to the hypocrite. But our cousins here, they say that this is something Jesus is not, they say this. What? Only this is say that, "Why call thou me good? And there is none good but one, that is God." Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He came, we read that, as a servant, he came down. He came down. And in all the books, even in any books, it says that Jesus was sinless. Say amen for that. He was sinless. So, 18th verse, the young ruler says, in 17th verse he says, "Keep my commandments." And then in the 18th verse, "I don't do murder. I do not commit adultery. I do not steal. I did not bear false witness." This is all from the Ten Commandments. So, and he honors his father and mother, as shall love thy neighbor. He even says that I love my neighbor as myself. There also we see. And in the 20th verse, "All these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet?" Now he is 100% self-righteous person. How do you know? Because he says that I have kept everything from my childhood. What he is asking, he is not knowing. Bible says that everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. Is it right? Everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. So if everyone has fallen short of the glory of God, then he is asking, what do I lack? See the question, how self-righteous he is. He's asking, what do I lack? And then Jesus says something. With Jesus, many of these words doesn't work. When they brought that lady, I would have said, "Leave her, or you do according to the law." But Jesus said, if any one of you doesn't have a sin, please throw it. The same way here also in Matthew 19:21. If thou will be perfect, and go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. This is a verse that is used for discipleship. Mean to say, our thought process with regard to money should be like this. Mean to say that the whole of your income, the whole of your earnings in the bank, you take tomorrow, you open, whether it is in the book form or in the digital form, you say, "This is not mine, this is God's." That is what God wants. God wants us to consider. Once we consider that, we will be fruitful. I will be fruitful. Say, "I will be fruitful." Fruitful, yes. So then you will have the treasure in heaven. So then after that, Jesus looking at him and saying a verse in the 24th verse, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." You know, this was a very difficult statement for the disciples. immediately when the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed. And then, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? If this is the position, then who else can be saved? And Jesus gives a very, very, very authoritative word there. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Say, all things are possible. God can clear whatever the problem that you're facing. Say amen if you believe. If you have any problem that you think that no answer could be received, God can do that. God says, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen, amen. So let us all stand. Luke chapter 14:26 says, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, and sisters, yeah, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So 26 verse says that, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, and his own life also, he cannot be a disciple. What does this word mean to you? Mean to say that you have to send out all your father, mother, sisters, and all? What does this word mean to you? What does this word, first of all, let me ask you, does this word have an effect in you? What does it mean? It means that the first priority in your life should be given to God. So when you give first priority to God, all the other things will fall in its place. You will give, you will love your father, you will love your mother, you will love your wife, you will do everything. You will do the will of God. So let us pray. Just one more verse. Deuteronomy 29:18. And so that there will not be among you a man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the false gods of these nations, so that there will not be among you a root of idolatry bearing poisonous fruit and bitterness, which is called wormwood, bitterness. So here, Bible Deuteronomy considers idolatry as a poisonous fruit. What is the poisonous fruit? Self-glorifying. Self-glorifying is a poisonous fruit, and it will bring forth bitterness. Bitterness. So the only one way that we can come out, we have to repent. God says you have to repent. We have to repent. Whether it should be a job or whatever it is, anything, career or anything, give God the first importance. Let us pray. Let us pray that we will acknowledge God and consider Him worth knowing as a creator. That we have to take this verse. This verse is from Romans 1:28. God gave them over to the depraved mind to do things which are improper and impulsive, repulsive. So we have to pray that, we have to take a vow that in all circumstances we will acknowledge His supremacy as a Creator God. As a Father God, we have to take a vow. Those who are ready to pray, we will now start praying that even the small decisions of your heart, He sees your heart. Even the small decisions of your heart will be taken by looking into the priority that you are giving to God. Okay, let us pray. Father, we give this time unto you, Lord. Father, we heard from your word, Lord, that you, Father, you were talking to your children about idolatry. And Father, let them give the first priority in their life, O Lord, for you, not for anything of them that the devil could work. Devil said that you shall be like God. Father, they will not believe that word. You shall not be like God. That you will be like God. They will never believe that word. Father, we pray, O Lord, Father, that you will guide them. You will channelize them, O Lord, to your will. And they will always, O Lord, look for, Father, even for the smallest thing in their life, not for the biggest thing, smallest thing in their life, they will come to you. And you will guide them. You will talk to them. You will give them the wisdom. You will give them the knowledge. You will take them to the next level, which you are already positioned for them. Oh Lord and my Father, I pray, Lord, that you will give them the wisdom and knowledge to come back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us let us pray that in Deuteronomy, that Deuteronomy which we read, that there will not be among you a root of idolatry bearing poisonous fruit. There will not be among you a root of idolatry. A root of idolatry. Let us pray. Father, we pray, Lord Father, that in our life, that root of idolatry, what is that root of idolatry? It could be in any which way that is kept in the altar of us. Oh Lord, let that altar be cleansed with your fire. Oh Father, we pray that let the altar be broken and your altar should be placed there. Oh Father, we pray, oh Lord Father, that Father, you give them the wisdom to keep you, Father, in all circumstances, whatever their problems are. You know their problems. You touch them, O Lord. You talk to them, O Lord. Father, we pray, O Lord, Father, that their altar will be rectified. O Father, we pray, O Lord, Father, that your grace will find them. O Father, when they are in trouble, and you will give them the grace, O Lord, Father. We thank you. And you have given the life only to give grace for us, O Lord, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us again pray. Which one is it that it is taking more time in your life? Check. What is the basic idol that is kept in your altar? This is the time you need to be sincere with God. See what is that is taking God's position. Remove that. Remove that, and you need to remove that for God's will to happen. God has a plan for you, and let that plan which is orchestrated by God, let it happen in you. Say amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, the idol which is kept in our heart, whatever be it, Father, everyone knows what is the idol. They had come to you now. They are ready to change the altar. The altar, if it is not as per your will, oh Lord, they are ready to change. Father, we pray, oh Lord, Father, that you will, with your Holy Spirit, with your Holy Spirit, you will cleanse the altar. And Father, you will give them a new altar that is always worshiping God. Lord and my Father, we pray, O Lord, Father, that you will do the same and you will fetch them for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.